First, agriculture has been a driver of Wisconsin's economy for a long time, but low commodity prices and ongoing trade disputes in the last several years have put a lot of farmers under pressure, in some cases, out of business. A recent report looks at the latest data to see how farmers are making ends meet. It finds that most Wisconsin farm households need a significant source of off-the-farm income to survive. The author of that report joins us now for a look at what this means for rural economies and the future of farming in Wisconsin. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Do you have a farm? Do you or maybe your spouse split time on and off the farm? How important are non-farm sources of income? Maybe a job off the farm? Maybe it's Social Security. Did you leave farming because of some of these pressures? Call it at 800-642-1234. 1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Steve Deller is a UW Extension Community Economic Development Specialist and professor in agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back.
Well, I want to start with a comment on Facebook. David writes, if one isn't a huge farm, it isn't worth it to farm. And that's a good starting point, I think. The size of Wisconsin farms has really diverged in a lot of ways. Can you tell us what's going on?
It really has. There's been a kind of a hollowing out of the middle of the farm distribution. Kind of your typical, stereotypical, you know, average family farm really doesn't exist anymore. And its farms are either moving towards bigger or they're trying to scale back to cut their costs down. And this is a real challenge for us that study agriculture in Wisconsin is when you do a simple head count of the number of farms out there, the vast majority of farms, over 50% of the farms, are really very, very, very small. And we get into a question is, you know, is this really a farm or not?
Yeah, if we have conversations about the average farm in Wisconsin, that's super misleading, right? Because so many of them are moving toward the extremes of big economy of scale or smaller, what do you want to call it, hobby farm or farming plus other stuff?
That's true. And one of the things that has allowed this transition to smaller scale, perhaps to kind of cut some of the costs a little bit, is this notion of off-farm income. And that's why I wanted to kind of look at that particular question.
Right. Now, talk about what you're trying to find out as you looked at the data about where farm households are getting their money.
Well, historically, a lot of farms have, you know, had off-farm income. Somebody in the farm household, generally the spouse, has worked off-farm, but it's historically been to get access to health care. But that's changed over time. What's happening now is that when you look at the farm enterprise versus or opposed to the farm household or the farm family, the farm household has really almost become 100% dependent upon off-farm income. And what we're seeing is that because the farm family is stable, or relatively stable, because of that off-farm income, they're able to keep the farm enterprise up and running.
Talk about the kinds of farming we're talking about here. That commodity farming, those huge fields of, say, corn for animal feed, or those really big dairy farms, that's one thing. What are these smaller farms doing?
Well, there's a lot of smaller farms that are getting into more specialized crops. This is partially the local foods movement. It's partially the expansion of interest in more specialized foods. So we're seeing the growth in, say, the number of farmers that are, say, growing hops, or the number of farmers, there was tremendous growth in the number of farmers that were growing cranberries, for example. And we're seeing a more diversified agriculture. I grew up in Illinois, and it was basically corn and beans. And if you had a 2,000-acre farm, you were small. Wisconsin agriculture is very different in that it's very diversified. We're still the cheese state. Dairy still dominates, but we're extremely diversified across a range of different types of commodities and different types of crops.
When we start to look at these smaller farms now in particular, you look at what this off-farm income is. What kind of things are we talking about?
Well, in terms of the level of income, if you're looking at farms that have sales, and this is Wisconsin, if you have farms with sales of more than $1 million, you're looking at about 14% of farm household income coming from off the farm. And that's generally tied to that access to health insurance. But when you get to farms that have less than $100,000 in sales, which is the vast majority of Wisconsin farms, you're looking at 102% of income coming from off-farms. Now, how can it be more than 100%? Well, what that's saying is that this off-farm income is actually supplementing the farm. So it's essentially saying that if we want to keep a lot of these quote-unquote family farms operating, we need to ensure that there's stable sources of off-farm income to keep the farm family stable.
Talking to Steve Deller, UW Extension Community Economic Development Specialist, professor in agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison, looking at farm income, farm household income. A new study, he writes, says a lot of Wisconsin farms rely on income coming from off the farm, an outside job, say, or Social Security. You can join in with your questions, maybe your own personal experiences, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Okay, let's talk policy now, Steve. If I want to help rural Wisconsin, the ways I do that are very different if a farm household's making all or most of their income directly from the farm versus a lot of it off the farm. What does that mean for things that can help preserve these farms and boost these rural economies?
One of the challenges that we have is that when you're talking, say, at the state level and definitely at the national level, representatives from urban areas tend to dominate, because that's where most of the population is. So you have folks that are talking about rural development that are coming at it from a very urban perspective. And there's this misnomer that rural America and agriculture are synonymous. In many parts of the U.S., that's true. But there's probably more rural areas where agriculture is one piece of the puzzle. Now, with this particular piece of research, what we're saying is that relationship between the rural community and farming, agriculture, is kind of flipped. So now, rather than those rural communities being dependent upon farming, it's those farms are now dependent on those rural communities.
So what do you do about that? It's easy to say we'll subsidize a crop, say, or something like that. Now, if you're flipping it around, what kind of strategies can you use?
Well, the one strategy is, again, to try to help policymakers understand that the nature of rural America and rural Wisconsin is changing. It has changed. And if we want to have a vibrant farming economy, which I think we should, because it's part of our culture, it's part of who we are as a state, we approach it in a different way. We approach it in a sense of looking at employment opportunities off farm. Now, how do we go about promoting economic development in these smaller rural communities? How long have you got? Because we could talk all day on that.
Get started.
The real driver of economic growth, and I'll talk in terms of employment, it's from new business startups. It's from entrepreneurship. And, you know, a lot of the existing businesses, if you look over time and you look at net job growth, existing businesses tend to shed more jobs than they add. So if it wasn't for new job growth or new business formation, entrepreneurship, we would be losing employment left and right historically. This goes back 30 years. Almost every state follows the same pattern. So I think that a lot of what we need to do is start looking at small business development, entrepreneurship, kind of that mom and pop type of business. The one analogy that I use sometimes, it's we have to plant like 100 seeds. And of those 100 seeds, maybe 50 will take root. Of those 50, maybe 20 will actually grow into healthy plants or healthy businesses. Of that 20, maybe 2 will actually become a major employer. We need to kind of nurture those along the way. The problem is that when we plant those 100 seeds, we don't know which 2 are going to become the major employers. So we kind of have to look at a kind of across the board and try to nurture all of these at the same time.
Steve Deller is with us, UW Extension Community Economic Development Specialist, professor in agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison. Talking with Steve about the ways that farm families earn their incomes on and off the farm, a lot, especially for smaller farms, very common in Wisconsin, rely heavily on off-farm income, jobs and otherwise. look at what that means for rural communities and for boosting the economy of rural Wisconsin, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a farm, new or maybe an old family farm? Do you work off of that farm, or does your spouse? How much do you depend on that income? Are you looking for this kind of off-farm employment? If you're in a rural community, do you have businesses starting up? Are you starting up a business yourself, maybe in a small town? What would help you do that? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can call in now or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up the conversation with Steve Deller, a community economic development specialist for UW Extension, looking at the ways farmers earn their income in Wisconsin, a lot of it coming from off of the farm, one or maybe both members of a farm family relying in large part on jobs outside the farm, and what it all means for developing economies in rural parts of the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Are we talking about your community? How has, if you're in farming or your family has been, how has that changed over the years? What would help your rural community develop itself? What kind of things would help create new businesses there? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Steve, are there ways that a local community or even the state government can give a nudge to help with that sort of startup, that business startup you're talking about? I assume just waiting around and hoping it might not come along.
That doesn't happen. One of the things that we're looking at, a colleague of mine, Tessa Conroy, has been doing a lot of work on this. And have you ever heard the phrase, it's not what you know, it's who you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really true when you're talking about entrepreneurship and small business development. It's that network of people that you know, that network of people that you can tap into, that you can learn from. That is extremely important. Chambers of commerce sometimes do that. Business associations sometimes do that. But one of the things that rural communities kind of struggle with is that this kind of independence is something that's held in high regard. Unfortunately, when you're trying to start a business or you're trying to grow a business, that independence can actually be, it can hold you back. So one of the things that a lot of communities are doing is that they're trying to develop stronger networks, stronger opportunities or better opportunities for potential entrepreneurs and small business owners to get together. They're trying to develop mentorship programs where some of the existing, quote-unquote, successful local business owners can kind of provide mentoring services. These are all really kind of, they're not flashy. They're not shiny. They're not the kinds of things that the media tends to pick up on. So it's really very, it's subtle type of work. But when you talk to economic development practitioners in these rural communities, they get the most professional reward when they're seeing local businesses getting together and sharing ideas and connecting and buying from each other and selling to each other. So that kind of networking can be extremely important.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Nate is with us in Madison. Nate, hi.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Professor, I would like you to comment, perhaps in some depth. We keep hearing about the need for broadband, and I'm travel a lot around the state in some of the more remote areas. And I know that you can't even have a sustained cell conversation in some of the more remote areas of the state. How it seems quite evident to me that if we want to have economic, a robust economic development program, that broadband expansion would be one significant piece of that puzzle.
Nate, thanks a lot for the call. Rural broadband, Steve.
I think that's extremely important. Broadband, one of the terms that we use is that it's a necessary condition, but it's not sufficient. Building broadband is not a magic bullet, but one thing that we learned from COVID and people kind of, you know, students having to learn from home, people telecommuting and things like that, is that access to quality, reliable, affordable broadband is extremely important. Now, one of the things that we're looking at right now is the cost of broadband from a consumer's perspective. One of the things that we found when we were looking at Wisconsin broadband a couple of years ago is that there's a real disconnect when it comes to income. Even if broadband is available, oftentimes it's simply too expensive for a lot of households and individuals. And what we're seeing is that it's kind of a further divide in terms of the poverty trap. This is something that we're trying to work on to try to get a better handle on, what does the cost, the subscription cost of broadband? And could there be policies not just to build the infrastructure, but to also make it more affordable for low-income households?
Thanks a lot for that call, Nate. We'll go to Terry now in Lake Geneva. Terry, hi.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, Terry. You're on the air.
We're probably the smallest cheesemaker in the state of Wisconsin that makes cheese from cow's milk. We milk the cows and we make the cheese. And there's a lot of grant programs that the state and the federal government come up with, but they always talk about how supportive they are of small business. But we recently applied for a grant to get a piece of equipment to allow us to pierce cheese so we could make blue cheese, which would expand our product line. We didn't get a grant, but Tolls got a grant. Tolls is a company that does in excess of $100 million a year, and they gave them a small business grant.
When you talk to the Small Business Administration, they define any business with less than 500 employees as small. Mm-hmm. I think when you're talking about rural Wisconsin, that's a big employer. So there's a matter of definition here. I think this goes back to that notion about networking, because when you apply for these grants, there's a lot of paperwork involved. And this is something that's always kind of a yin and yang with federal grants and state grants and whatnot, is that the amount of paperwork can be really burdensome. But this is taxpayers' money. We really kind of have to make sure that we cross all the T's and dot all the I's, because this is taxpayers' money. So there's kind of a give and take there. But one of the things that some of our extension educators are working on is trying to provide a network of expertise, if you will, for folks to kind of fill out and apply for these grants, because there's a trick to it. And once you learn that trick, you can be pretty successful. I think the other thing that you mentioned is that the big firms getting it. It goes back to my comment about, you know, a lot of the stuff that rural communities are doing is not very flashy, not very shiny. Sometimes there's a political motivation to go after these big, big projects because they're shiny. They get media coverage. And that's something that it's a challenge.
Thanks a lot for that call, Terry. Terry is in the food processing business as well as doing dairy himself. I believe you've told me in the past, Steve, we employ more people in food processing than in agriculture itself. Do you see still the room for growth? Could these be the kinds of businesses we're talking about in these communities, these startups?
That was actually, you're right. I mean, when you look at food processing employs more people and generates more of the economic impact than on-farm. But we could get into this kind of chicken and egg type of discussion. But the other thing is that a lot of the food processing is in urban areas. So when you think about agriculture, including on-farm and food processing, agriculture is an urban phenomenon. But folks don't. One of the things, though, I think that's really important here is that with a lot of these smaller farms and the movement towards more local foods, I use that term very generically, is this notion of value added, of actually taking your product and trying to add some value to it and capturing some of that money. a number of local businesses, local farmers are trying to move in that direction. So we're almost seeing agriculture, again, bifurcate into large commodity. They're selling into the commodity market, yellow cheese number two, or they're moving into these product markets where you can actually kind of market it and try to make a little bit of money off of that. Now, that's a form of entrepreneurship, and how can we help nurture that?
Right, and briefly, if I'm barely making ends meet with my farm, can I afford, say, the equipment to do that value added?
No, that's where off-farm income comes into play, because what off-farm income does is that it stabilizes the farm family, the farm household, and allows the farm to maybe take a few risks that normally it wouldn't do because the family is stable.
Steve, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Steve Deller, Community Economic Development Specialist and Professor in Agricultural and Applied Economics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We talked with Steve about farm households in Wisconsin and the importance of off-farm sources of income. Very important, especially to the many smaller farms in the state, and what it all means for development, economic development in rural parts of the state. Still time for you to share your story, by the way. You can do that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR.